May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord and my God. Please be seated. On this fifth day of Lent, we celebrate the life of Harriet Tubman. She was born into slavery in the 1820s, and in 1849, near the age of 30, she had a vision that compelled her to run away, traveling under the cover of night with only the North Star as her guide. And she arrived here safely in Pennsylvania. She felt like she was in heaven. "I had crossed the line," she wrote, "I was free, but there was no one to welcome me to the land of freedom." Tubman went on to commit herself and to helping others escape to freedom, guiding at least 300 people to Canada over the course of 15 years. To those who traveled under her guidance, she was known as Moses. She ordered life to those residing in a land of dry bones. She herself experienced the hand of the Lord bringing her out and into salvation, as described in our reading in Ezekiel this morning. I can imagine her hearing God saying to her, as in the last lines of Ezekiel this morning, "Oh, Harriet, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." In John today, we have the last of the lengthy Gospels before our triumphal entry to Jerusalem as palms are cast on Jesus' feet, which we will recreate and enact as a community next week. In Jesus' raising of Lazarus, we have an outrageous miracle where the religious and legal authorities have had it. Their patience is exhausted. And Jesus, for sure, is not risk-averse. This is going to be the nail in his coffin, if you will. There will be no question as to his claim to authority and power, that which he states he receives and returns to God. The gospel is filled with heart-wrenching grief. Mary's, Martha's, and also Jesus himself. The if-onlys are directed to these two women at Jesus with grief and sadness, which is very complex. How could Jesus delay his trip? They certainly were hopeful of him performing a miracle on that day. They were already believers. They knew that this would happen. And Jesus himself wept at the news. Yet he must have been made aware of this. He waited until Lazarus was dead. As in last week's narrative, God will use this. God will use Lazarus' death to prove his miraculous power through the person of Jesus, to call him forward from the grave. But were Jesus' tears relegated only to his friends, to Martha and Mary? Perhaps we can consider the foreboding fear of his own death very soon to be realized. He will be pleading with God to take this cup from me. Take this cup. Pass by this upcoming task that I have to walk through. But yet, God, only if it be your will. Perhaps he wept and weeps for us humans who must also let go of our own mortal bodies in death, a death which he is not able to prevent. And I cannot prove to you, but I know that Jesus is present with us as we near death, as we face what cannot be changed. I cannot prove to you that I know that life exists beyond the grave, but I know this to be a truth. And it is a truth that is affirmed by our faith, and it is affirmed by love that continues on in families and in friends, and in works begun, ongoing, and generative. And I believe in the generous love of Jesus that continues today. As I've been presenting the theme of compassion over the weeks of Lent, I chose to look at our Lord who exemplifies compassion with the highest of regard. As Christians walk the way of the cross in the season of Lent, we will witness suffering, his physical emptying, and ability to offer himself as a sacrifice to God in crucifixion. We will follow this transition from life to death, from hopelessness to incredulous hope. What is compelling in the account of Luke 23:24 is that Jesus asks God to forgive his own executioners, the Romans and the Jews who were tormenting him at his own crucifixion, claiming that they don't know what they're doing. And although none of them deserve forgiveness, Jesus understands their spiritual blindness and the guilt that each one of them had. He sees beyond the grave, even his own. Now, getting ready for Holy Week goes beyond resurrection. What Jesus promises us is a life of resurrection, abundant, this belonging to him eternally. And it indeed is how we actually are in our present form, whether we're aware of this or not. The grief of Mary and Martha, the raising of Lazarus, is a mirrored story of the raising of Jesus himself. Lazarus comes back to life and gets to live again alongside of Jesus. Reverend James Liggett writes, Lazarus doesn't become a celebrity and go on some Oprah Winfrey show and talk about tunnels and bright lights and 4 days of a near-death experience. There isn't any of that. And what's more, John's Gospel tells us that Lazarus got a bit messier in the life that he lived after that, and even more complicated post-miracle. He really didn't live happily ever after as we count such things. The promise of new life is not a promise that we are in charge and that we will get what we want. But the promise is better than that. The promise is that God in Jesus Christ is Lord even of the dead, even of death itself. And that is what he says goes. And that's what we Christians see. We can see no farther and we can see no more. And we should not claim to see more, but we can see that. And of course, we want more. We want details. We want guarantees. And we want to have some power and control over all of this in this life. But we don't get it. We don't get any of that. Not in the face of physical death, not in the midst of other small deaths, the smaller ones. Instead, in the face of all death that makes up our lives, we are told first that death is stronger than we are, and that we have neither knowledge nor power over it. And then we're told that Jesus is Lord of all, Lord of life and death. So, we must choose. Whatever deaths stand in front of us, we must choose. We must choose to despair or to trust. We must choose to give up or go on. We must choose to abandon hope or to let go in faith. That choice is not made for us, but instead it's given to us freely. And that choice can be terribly, terribly hard, more than at any other time. The reality of death, whatever form it is a call to trust indeed and to trust blindly. For we see all that the world sees, and yet we see more. We see that the dry bones, even our dry bones, can live once more. And we see that the word of Jesus has power. Come out, the Lord calls. Come out into different life. Come out into a new life, a life unknown and unexplained. Come out in trust and come out in hope. Our souls wait for the Lord. Our souls wait for him. In his word is our hope, and may it be so.
Thanks be to God. Amen.